Here, let's stand together, and if you're willing and able, we'll read just a few verses tonight out of this text, and I want to give you a thought. This is one of those thoughts I really need to be 100% and just kind of get into it, and you'll understand why in just a moment. And so you pray for us, pray God will help us to be able to preach tonight how we desire to preach, but more importantly, how He desires us to preach tonight. And we'll try to be sensitive to that and do the best we can on our end. And hopefully it'll be filled with the Spirit of God and it'll be a help to us. Leviticus 23, begin reading in verse number 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this 7th month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation, that is an assembling, a gathering in. He said, Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and a drink offerings, everything upon His day. Beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your free will offerings which ye give unto the Lord. Also on the 15th day, the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice. And this should be our phrase tonight, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. We'll leave off our reading there, and we want to preach to you tonight just a little thought on rejoice before the Lord your God. Rejoice before the Lord your God. You can be seated, Heavenly Father, tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, how grateful we are to be in the house of God one more time tonight. Lord, we know the weather's kind of, Lord, here, just even while we're in service, Lord, has begun to kind of pick up. Lord, we're kind of sneaking in, cramming in a service here tonight. And Lord, it thrills our heart to be able to be here. Lord, you let us worship this morning and back again tonight. What a God you are. Lord, I pray now, Lord, as we spend these next 30, 35 minutes together, Lord, that you'd work in our midst, take the word of God. Lord, help me as your servant, Lord, the mouthpiece of the Lord tonight, preaching through the word of God. Lord, to speak with clarity and Lord, to say all you'd have us to say. And Lord, I pray that it be understandable in the hearts and ears of those that are listening tonight. And then I pray for them this evening that, Lord, folk would listen attentively this evening beyond the weaknesses of a man and hear what God is saying in His Word, hear what the Holy Ghost is saying to their heart personally. Lord, I pray this evening we'd all be blessed, all be encouraged, that we'd all be challenged. And Lord, more than anything, in some way, Lord, small or great, would you make a change in our life? Lord, for what you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen and amen. This text we've read tonight, we understand, and it's spelled out pretty clear. And I know some of it seems kind of weighty in reading. We don't really understand a lot of the Jewish culture and things that are being instituted here. But this deals with what is known, according to verse number 34, the Feast of Tabernacles. It's also known as the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of the Ingathering, that would take place, as we read a moment ago, specifically at that time of the year when the harvest had been gathered in. The people of God, the males from every tribe, would come representing their clan or their group of people, their family. They would practice this matter, these feasts, this particular feast known as the Feast of Tabernacles. As you study the Feast of Tabernacles, there's a lot of things about this that speak of Christ and show us that Christ and His work and things that He did through Calvary and the resurrection and the fact that He's coming again. And all of this plays in with things that would take place leading into the Feast of Tabernacle. And you have really three feasts: the Feast of Passover, you have this Feast of Tabernacle, and the Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread. And these things would all speak of the Lord Jesus Christ coming and suffering and dying, His resurrection. And the fact here, I believe, the Feast of Tabernacles speaks of the fact that Jesus is coming again. You'll see that in just a little while, the end of the message. But in this matter, the Feast of Tabernacle, I'm interested just to kind of simplify everything real quickly in the purpose of this feast. Why did God institute this among the Jewish realm and religion of worship by Moses in the law? Well, the Bible said, we pointed it out a moment ago in our reading, it gives us actually our thought in verse number 40, that in the practice of what is known as the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Lord said, "Ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, and the branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook." And here's the purpose. Here's what God is saying: for 7 days, which was the time limit that is placed upon the Feast of Tabernacle, that beginning on the seventh month, the 15th day of the seventh month, they would go and sit in these booths, and other things would be done in the tabernacle. But God said, where I want your heart to get to is, where I want your mindset to be through this Feast of Tabernacles, is that it's during these 7 days ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God. 7 days of rejoicing. 7 days of being filled with gratitude to the Lord. 7 days of simply looking to God, entering into His presence spiritually, and finding your source of joy in Christ and in Christ alone. The Lord is interested in their rejoicing. He's interested through this Feast of Tabernacle in them maintaining an attitude and a spirit of joy within them. One thing I understand about the Lord Jesus tonight and the dispensation we're living in is that our Savior is interested in our joy. He is interested in you and I being satisfied and our cup running over. And he has come in His own words. He said that they might have life, and that they might have life that is His own more abundantly. The Lord is not interested in you and I dragging our tracks out. He's not interested in you and I, amen, just barely surviving on the meager crumbs that fall from the Master's table. He is interested in you and I thriving and succeeding. And I don't mean in the realms as some of the realms of religion would teach in this hour in which we live, the charismatics and such. We're not talking about your best life now. We're not talking about, amen, that everything you touch is going to turn to a $100 bill. That's not what we're teaching. And that's not the purpose of the Feast of Tabernacles. The purpose of it and the purpose of our Savior is simply this. He wants us to know where our joy really comes from. God marked out in the Old Testament a picture for you and I shows you and I that we can have joy. No matter what you have faced in a year's time, no matter what labor you have bestowed, No matter what in battles you have encountered, no matter what hardships and back-breaking work you've had to do, amen, God said, don't you ever forget on the 15th day of the seventh month, you set aside some time on purpose to do nothing but rejoice before the Lord your God. Amen. And so we want to preach on that this evening. Rejoice before the Lord your God. And I'll give you three things here in just a moment. I noted some notes of interest to me in regard to the Feast of Tabernacle and things that surround it or involved in it. I noted this in my study. I found that one man noted that this matter of the Feast of Tabernacles, that you've got to understand an order that proceeds into it. In fact, what we want to note is that the Day of Atonement is what preceded the time of the 7 days known as the Feast of Tabernacle. And we understand the Day of Atonement was a day of cleansing, the day where sin was dealt with, the day that their sin would be atoned for and forgiveness would be granted and extended to the nation of Israel for the sins that had been committed for an entire year. And what a testimony the Day of Atonement speaks to the work of our Savior as the sacrificial Lamb of God who died to be our sin. Amen. To be the propitiation for our sin as God's people. And not for ours only, John the Beloved said, but for the sins of the whole world. And in the Day of Atonement, we find the glorious picture of the work that Jesus did at Calvary. How that, my friend, He gave His life and shed His blood. His body was offered a sacrifice for sin. My friend, it's only through His blood and what He did at Calvary that a cleansing for sin, thank God, can be had in this day and in this time. I love the message of John the Baptist in John chapter number 1 as he had been baptizing and preaching repentance and was my friend, the forerunner and the friend of the bridegroom that had come before the Lord. Amen. Preaching, amen, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. On that particular day of John chapter number 1, he's there and he's preaching and he's baptizing his converts. And all of a sudden he sees the Lord Jesus coming down the shoreline headed John's way. And John all of a sudden stops all that he's doing and points down the way. Amen to the man from Nazareth that is coming. Amen up the banks of the Jordan River. And here's what he said. He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What a testimony that was of the work that Jesus Christ had come to do and would do. Just 3.5 years later from that day, as the Son of God would be lifted and suspended between that of heaven and earth and being sacrificed for our sin. Amen, being crucified on our behalf, bearing our cross and our sin and our shame. Amen, the Day of Atonement for all eternity was met on that grand and glorious day. My friend, Christ is our atonement. He, my friend, is our salvation and the cleansing of our sin. Unto Him that loved us, John the Beloved said, amen, in Revelation chapter number 1, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. Amen, and so we've been cleansed and we've been washed. And, amen, our atonement, as it were, in the picture, I understand we got more than the atonement of the Old Testament. Amen, I understand our sins are gone, they're gone, they're gone. Thank God for that truth. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, and we want to point out the note of interest, is that you could not have joy till you first had cleansing. Amen. The day, the Feast of Tabernacles could not be experienced. Amen. You could not rejoice before the Lord your God until, amen, there was a day of atonement, a day of cleansing, a day where your sin had been dealt with. Amen, and I'm glad mine has. I'm glad I've got a day. My sins got washed away. Amen, I wrote it down this way, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and what it speaks of. Amen, is simply this, that joy in its fullest and deepest sense can only follow cleansing. Amen. There is a generation tonight that is seeking joy in all sorts of things. Amen. They're trying to find it in the world. They're trying to find it in religion. They're trying to find it in sinful activity. They're trying to find it in dope and in booze and in sex and in rock and roll and in the venues of the world. They try to find it in the dance halls and the bar rooms and the pool halls. And they're trying to find something that will give them a lasting joy. Amen. Can I tell you, would you listen to one who's been there and done that? Amen. Would you listen to one who's tried to find joy in all these worldly places and in some of these venues? And there's a crowd of folk here tonight. Amen. They can testify you as well, trying to find joy. Amen. And lasting joy and fullness of joy. Amen. And you may have found a high and you may have found a moment or two of bliss. Amen. You may have found a few days where you felt pretty good. Amen. But all the joy you found when you found cleansing. Amen. When your sins got washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad I know something about a day of cleansing. And because there's been cleansing, I can know what true joy is. Amen. God, revive our joy. God, revive the joy of the church and the people of God. Amen. We don't need what this world has to offer. Amen. You young folk, listen to this preacher tonight. Amen. You don't need what's out there. I know they talk about all the joy they have. I know they talk and they make it all look fun and they make it all look good. Amen. But the deepest joy you'll ever know and the fullest joy you'll ever experience. Amen. The most lasting joy that abides when your whole world is crumbling is the joy that comes and follows your sins having been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. I'm glad I know something about, amen, the joy that follows cleansing, joy in its fullest and deepest sense. Amen. Can only follow cleansing. Amen. If you're going to rejoice before the Lord your God, amen, He'll have to be yours because you've been to a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners are plunged beneath the flood and come up having lost all their guilty stains. Amen. Brother Mike, joy ain't in religion. That's why some of y'all, amen, some of y'all may be hearing, some listening, amen, other means it. Amen. You're bored in your religion. You're dry in your religion. Amen. Because, my friend, religion will leave you that way. There ain't no joy in religion and rules and regulations and standards. Amen. All the laws and the commandments of our Savior. Amen. They are grievous to a heart that knows nothing about cleansing. Amen. But if you know what it is to have your sins washed away, amen, you know the joy of living for Him. You know the joy of worshiping Him. You know the joy that we're speaking of tonight. Amen, that joy that, my friend, comes only by cleansing. Amen, I thought about this, that even though there had been a day of atonement, even under these 7 days known as the Feast of Tabernacles, amen, I only got 3 main points, 0 sub-points. Everybody say amen right there. And so when we get there, it won't take a moment. This is important tonight. Amen, not only was there a day of cleansing, but in them 7 days of the Feast of Tabernacle, amen, it was kind of alluded to in the text we read, where the Bible said in verse 37, "These are the feasts of the Lord which ye shall proclaim be holy convocations." And he said to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, a meat offering, a sacrifice, and drink offerings, everything upon his day. And if you'll cross-reference Numbers chapter 29, we'll not look there tonight, but in Numbers chapter 29, you'll find that the Lord gave each and every one of those 7 days what was supposed to be offered on that particular day. And if you'll do the math, here's what you'll find. 199 animals were to be slain in those 7 days. Amen. In other words, it's as if, amen, the Word of God is teaching us there had to be a day of atonement before you could even reach this place. But even in your rejoicing, amen, don't forget the slain. Don't forget the suffering. Don't forget the bloodshed. Amen, them 199 animals slain speak of a picture again of Calvary and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even when your sins have been cleansed and washed away, and my friend, the source of our joy still flows from what Jesus has done for you and I. Amen, and there are times, even though our sins have been washed away, amen, we still find ourselves out of sorts with God at times. And we dare not use this verse as a crutch and as a license to sin tonight. Amen. But John the Beloved said, if any man say he has no sin, he said, this man's a liar and the truth is not in it. And then he went on to say, because I'm telling you, we all have sinned according to that verse. Amen. Even as God's children, we ain't always lived up to what we ought to be. And here's what John the Beloved said, but if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I'm glad we have that as a child of God. Amen. You say, preacher, where's your joy come from? Where's the source of your joy? Amen. Well, it's rooted and founded in 25 years ago. Amen. When my sins got washed all away. Amen. But I'm telling you, since that glorious day, amen, I have found joy in every situation of life. Amen. Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That is still my cleansing. You see, it cleansed me. Amen. Unto eternal salvation. Amen. 25 years ago, but since them days, it's been cleansing me. For my daily service, and in that we find joy. Amen. Is this not the prayer and the cry of David of old in Psalm 51 and verse number 12? After that of David's great trespass and transgression and failure and fault. Amen. After he was sick of his sin, he lifted his eyes to God and prayed, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Amen. I'm telling you, he prayed that. After that, he asked God, amen, to cleanse him with hyssop. He said, if you'll cleanse me, I'll be white. If you'll wash me, I'll be clean. And David said, it's then and it's only then. Amen. My joy can be restored. Amen. I'm glad tonight. You say, preacher, amen, why do you sing and why do you lift your hand? And why is it that you have joy from day to day? And I'm not telling you always got it like I should. I'm like the rest of you, amen. You got your little angel wings. You're trying to flap around, amen. But I see you budding horns. We all have days we want to kick the dog. Amen. We all have days we want to choke the kids. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. And sometimes we're lacking in our joy. Amen. But I'm glad, thank God tonight that Christ has lifted and raised the standard and the testimony. Amen. And the seal of my life that there is an abiding joy. Amen. Not a joy action of Calvary, but a joy filled in Calvary. Amen. This here is the story that we read in Nehemiah chapter number 8. After that, my friend Ezra had gone back to rebuild the temple. Nehemiah had followed him to rebuild the walls of the city. Amen. All those years they labored. Ezra preached, and it seemed like nothing was happening. Nehemiah shows up and there's some work being done. Amen. On the outside, walls are being raised, but the people are as far from God as they've ever been. Amen. And then the day came, Ezra stood up, Nehemiah said, read the word of God, man of God. And there on that day stood, and for 12 long hours the people stood. Amen. To a man of God doing nothing but read the law of God to them. And the more he read and the longer he read, the more unction God put on it. Amen. Conviction fell on that crowd. Tears began to well up in their eyes. Amen. And fall off their cheek into the ground of the holy city, Jerusalem. So great was the conviction. They wept and they howled it. And they were so grieved and condemned by their sin. How far they had come from God, the things they let into their life and into their land. Brother Riley, they felt as if though they were hopeless. Amen. All of a sudden, Ezra and Nehemiah and them other servants of the Lord came around the people. And they began to cheer them. And they began, they began to say, cry your tears of repentance. Amen. But after you've repented, repent no more and weep no more. And here's what they said. They said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. You'll find that, my friend, that charged their soul. Brother Bob, in Nehemiah chapter number 8, verse 14 through 17. Amen. You'll find that that crowd of Ezra in Nehemiah's day, the first thing they did, after that they had heard their sins had been forgiven, as they began to practice again the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. But then they built their booths and they got in there and they killed them sacrifices and they began to rejoice before the Lord again. Amen. That joy that had been missing though they were building the work of God. That joy that they were missing even though they were building the walls. Amen. Even though they were making progress, they didn't have the joy in its fullness sense. Amen. But when the Lord cleansed their sin and forgiveness dawned on them, amen, oh, they began to say, amen, we're going to get back to rejoicing before the Lord again. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you say? Amen. Well, I'm a feeling like preaching here tonight. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. Is that you'll never have joy in its fullness and deepest sense until your sins have been cleansed, sinner and child of God, until you walk in forgiveness. Amen. You say, but preacher, I failed the Lord. Then repent of your sin and change your ways and cleanse your hands and purify your heart. My friend began to understand that all your joy, amen, it ain't wrapped up in how great or how small you are. Amen, our joy is anchored in, amen, Calvary's blood and what the Savior has done for us. Amen. How's that for an introduction? Amen. Amen. And so the Lord said, amen, I want there to be times in my people's life where they do nothing but rejoice before the Lord your God. Amen. And so where does that come from? Amen. How are we stirred to do that? Amen. Well, look with me in our text quickly tonight. Amen. Number one, we do this. We rejoice before the Lord our God. Number one, by looking back. It's interesting to me that on the onset of the giving of the Feast of the Tabernacles, as is laid out in Leviticus chapter number 23, that the source here, or the thing the Lord wants to settle in upon them, is that this is to be done in the generations that are to come. Every Israelite born shall dwell in booths. He said in verse number 43, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. There's that statement that God would make over and over and over every time He would lay out a feast, every time He would give an ordinance, every time He would make a law. I am the Lord your God. Amen. I'm the one. I want you rejoicing before me. Amen. Don't rejoice before the gods that are out there in the land of Canaan. Don't rejoice before the gods that are out there. They've done nothing for you. Amen. And the whole point of the Feast and the Tabernacles, or one of them, amen, is that this feast helped remind the people of God of their departure out of Egypt's land. Amen. The purpose of the booths. I thought about this. Why booths? Amen. Why booths? Evidently, the Lord said, amen, I don't want you forgetting that. Amen. When I brought you out of Egypt and you was wandering around the wilderness, amen, that you was wandering and you lived out of booths. You say, preacher, that doesn't sound real good. Well, it doesn't until you consider the alternative and where they were at when God found them. Amen. I wrote it down this way, Brother Bob. God had pulled them out of bondage and gave them booths. A booth is far better than bondage. Amen. A booth, my friend, of your own. It may just be a little shack or a shanty in the wilderness. Amen. But that's far better than shackles on your hand. Amen. That's far better than Pharaoh's whips across your back. Amen. And what God is saying, when you rejoice before me, amen, what's going to stir you is by looking back. Amen. Look back where God brought you from. Amen. Look what God rescued you out of and delivered you from. Amen. You see, the Feast of Tabernacles was to be kept. Amen. No matter what they gained in the days to come. Amen. The God set them free out of Egypt. He traded their bondage for booths. Amen. But Brother Larry, they weren't always going to be in booths. Amen. They're headed to Canaan's land. Amen. They're headed to Canaan's land. And God said, you're going to dwell in houses you never built. Amen. There's houses I've led Canaanites sweat and labor and toil to build. You're going to go in and you're going to take their homes. And you're not going to always dwell in booths, but every now and then. Amen. In your minds, you need to go sit in a booth somewhere. Amen. To remind you 7 days. Amen. You ain't always had it as good as you've got it. Amen. There's a day you was in bondage. There's a day. Amen. You wept yourself to sleep at night. There were days you cried and God heard those cries. And God sent somebody in your way to bring you out of sin and to bring deliverance to your life. Amen. And God is saying through the Feast of Tabernacles, rejoice before the Lord your God. Amen. Look back and understand, amen, what God has done for you for 7 days once a year. Amen. There to do nothing but remember what it was like, amen, when they were first set free. Amen. You know what will cause you to rejoice before the Lord? Amen. I've never met anybody that's ever truly been saved and born again. Amen. That could not testify. Amen. That in the moment they got saved, the freedom they felt, the cleansing they felt, the joy that flooded their soul. Amen. They may not have had it all nailed down. Amen. But Tim, they may not have been living in a spiritual mansion at that point. Amen. They may not have quoted verses in connected context. Amen. All they had was a spiritual booth. But yet, my friend, the joy of being set free, that, amen, joy of salvation coming out of sin with a high hand. Amen. Saying, God save me. God save me. Yet I may not have it all nailed down, but I know I'm saved. Amen. That joy, what God is saying is, amen, every now and then you need to go back and remember what it felt like when I saved you. Amen. Amen. Just, amen, go back. Amen. Go back and, amen, like a little kid. Amen. Splash around in the kiddie pool, kiddie end of the pool. Amen. Amen. Go back. Have yourself a time. Just remember it. Amen. What God did for you when He saved you. Amen. We, my friend, rejoice before the Lord our God by looking back. By looking back, remembering it was Him that set us free. Amen. Amen. You say, I got it pretty good tonight. Amen. Some of us got it so good we forgot where God found us. Amen. You ain't always been in Canaan land. Amen. You ain't always known what you know tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, I love what Brother Raines prays every time I hear him preach. Amen. He'll say, Lord, I'm going to take a walk, a trip down memory's lane. Amen. And thank you for where you rescued me from. Amen. Can I say every child of God ought to do that? Amen. You keep your joy and you'll rejoice before the Lord your God. Amen. By simply looking back to what God brought you out of.
Amen.
Number two, not only looking back, but looking around. Amen. Looking around. Notice with me, flip over a few pages. I'll be done here in just a moment. Deuteronomy in chapter number 16 this evening. Amen. Real quickly now, I'm winding down. Deuteronomy 16, 13. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. Moses is speaking to the children of Israel now, preparing them to go into Canaan. Amen. And now here's what he said. After that, thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. Thou shalt rejoice in thy feast. I love this verse. He said, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose. Because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands, therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. You know what Moses is saying? He's saying there's coming a time. Amen. You're going to go into that land and you're going to look around and you're going to find a nice sunny spot. And you're going to get your plowshares beat out and you're going to sharpen them. You're going to go out and you're going to plow the fallow ground. And you're going to get out there and labor and toil and sweat's going to come out of your brow. Amen. You're going to plow your furrows. You're going to plant your seed. You're going to pull those weeds. You're going to tend to that garden every which way that it calls for. You're going to watch as them little sprouts come up out of the ground. You're going to see God send the rain when you just in time need it. You're going to watch them little sprouts turn into plants. Amen. You're going to see those stalks of corn begin to grow. And you're going to watch as you work and you labor in the heat of the day. Amen. Them little ears of corn begin to burst forth. Amen. He said the day's going to come. You're going to gather in your wagons. Amen. And gather them out there to the fields. And you're going to begin to pluck the ears of corn. And you're going to load down the wagons and you're going to take it back the storehouses and the barns and you're going to put it up. And what he says is at the end of the day, after all the time of plowing, all the time of sowing, all the time of labor in the field, after all the harvest has been gathered, amen, he said, what I want you to do is look around and see how good God has been to you. Amen. What he's saying is rejoice before the Lord thy God. Amen. By looking around, just open your eyes. Amen. I know and I've said it and others have said it and it's true and I get it. And yet, amen, we need to understand, yes, it's been, amen, a long year. It's been a long 2 years. Amen. And it seems like with every passing year, we say, boy, I'll be glad when this year is over. Amen. To start another and only to find that one is filled with, amen, sweating it out and laboring and praying, dear God, send some rain and help us. Amen. And we just sit there and we watch our lives. Amen. But may I say there ought to be some times every now and then on purpose. Amen. We look beyond the days of plowing. We look beyond the back broke days. Amen. Where we've labored, all the weeds we've pulled, all the days that, amen, we've sweated it out, prayed it out. Amen. And just look around and say, you know what? Amen. God has blessed me. Amen. God has been good to me. Amen. Because at the end of the day, it ain't all our work that caused the things to come in our life. Amen. It was God who kept our mind right. Amen. It was God that gave us the ability to do what has been blessed. Amen. It's God that sends the rain. It's God that sends the seasons. It's God that puts his hand on the sea. Amen. And what Moses is saying, when you get into that land, Amen. Understand God is going to be good to you. Amen. And there ought to be at least 7 days on the 15th day of the seventh month every year. Amen. Where you just build a booth and you sacrifice some things to God and just shout around a little while looking around saying, "Dear God, I can't believe how good He's been to me. He's been better to me than I deserve. I can't believe this much is in the barn. And yeah, it may have been a hard year and it may have been hard coming. Amen. But God has been good to us." Look around between here and the house and you'll see, amen, a testimony, the trail of God's blessings all around your life. Amen. Amen. Looking back, looking around, I won't take the time to look here, write it down, you look at it when you get home, but looking forward. Looking forward, you say, "Preacher, where does that come from?" Zechariah chapter number 14. Deals with the day of the Lord that is to come. The day of the Lord and the Word of God is that day when the Lord comes back in His second advent, puts His feet on the Mount of Olives, and sets up an earthly kingdom. He's going to deal with the enemies of the armies of the world that have set themselves against Jerusalem in the Valley of Armageddon. He's going to bring down plagues and destructions, and Zechariah deals with all of that in Zechariah chapter number 14. Here's what he says. When he gets done dealing with that crowd, he's going to set up his 1,000-year earthly kingdom. He's going to set up a throne and he's going to rule there. Zechariah said, "In that day, amen, the nations are going to come. Every man from every nation is going to come once a year, amen, to the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're there for doing one thing for 7 days. They're going to do the Feast of Tabernacles again. And they're going to worship the one that it was always about." Amen. Can I say tonight? Amen. Can I say tonight? This feast will be reinstated in that 1,000-year earthly reign of King Jesus as worship unto Him. Every time the people of God were fulfilling this feast, be it in the days of Moses, the days of Joshua, the days of Nehemiah and Ezra. Amen. All of this, they were looking forward to the day that they would indeed literally rejoice before the Lord their God. Can I say for you and I as the children of God and the church of this dispensation, amen, may I say when we rejoice before the Lord, when we're looking back and we're looking around and we're, my friend, experiencing the, amen, the joy that comes from cleansing, the joy that comes from Jesus. Amen. There ought to be times we worship Him and Him alone as we simply are looking forward to the day when we're living in His eternal presence.
Amen.
Amen. And I say there's some things I'm looking forward to. Jesus in that upper room in the institution of what we know to be the Lord's table or the Lord's supper. Amen. He ate the bread with them, but He said to them when it came time to drink the cup, He said, "I'm not going to drink it with you here tonight. Boys, there's coming a day when we enter in the kingdom. I'm going to drink it with you." You know what He was doing? He's telling them, keep your eyes, keep looking forward. Amen. There's a day we're going to be back together. There's a day we're going to sit around, amen, and just do nothing but talk about how good that God has been and where God saved us. And we're just going to look at Him on the throne in His literal presence. And literally, literally, as it is indeed literally, amen, we are going to rejoice before the Lord our God. Amen. I believe we can do that spiritually, Brother Mike, tonight. Brother Mark, we ought to be doing it spiritually. Amen. At times in our life to enter into His presence with boldness by the grace of God and by the name of the Lord Jesus, and just enter in before His presence with, amen, singing and joy and thanks and worship, adoring Him. But as we're doing that, amen, understand we're looking forward to a day, amen, when the Lord is going to call us home. We'll meet it, amen, in the air, in the clouds. There'll be a gathering, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that ought to stir you to joy tonight. Amen. I'm not saying tonight you got to go build your booth out of cedar thickets. Amen. Somewhere down in here, child of God, rejoice before the Lord thy God. When's the last time you done that? When's the last time you just had a spell and said, Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, I can't help but look back and look around. And then, amen, the cherry on top, Brother Jack, is to just look forward and know it gets better from here on out. Whatever this life brings and however bad it is, God will still be good to us. Amen. But after this life, it just gets better further on. Amen. Get your joy back, child of God. Amen. Jesus made a way. Jesus made a way. Rejoice before the Lord your God. Just a simple little thought. Let's close in prayer.